Good evening to you all, the brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, God has given us eternal opportunity to gather together and discuss His wonderful words of life. By God's grace, we have been discussing and we have been studying sixth volume, the third chapter, The Call of the New Creation. So last week, we studied till page number 111, where we studied about the justification and the ancient worthies. So this week, we will continue. From page number 111, the last paragraph. Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother.
Okay.
The apostles refers to the justification to life, Romans 5:18, as being the divine arrangement through Christ, which will be open eventually to all men. And it is this justification to life that those who are called to the new creation are reckoned to attain now in advance of the world by the exercise of faith. They realize a justification not only to terms of fellowship with God as his friends and not aliens, strangers, foreigners, enemies, but additionally it is possible for them by the same faith to grasp the restitution rights to life secured for them by the Redeemer's sacrifice, and then to sacrifice those earth life rights as joint sacrificers and under priests in association with the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Thank you, sister. So, in Romans 5:18, Apostle Paul speaks about justification to life. So, this justification, as we have studied a lot of things about this one, it speaks about the justification as new creation, that it is a reckoned justification, that God considers us that we are holy, and God in faith, he justifies us, he clears us of all our sin and makes us clean. So this justification is given for what purpose? If you see, this justification is given as not that we be friends with God. Last week we studied ancient worthies were justified by their faith. Hence, they could be, you see, considered as friends of God. But here, God considers us that we are completely sinless. Hence, the better opportunity we have is that we can be, you see, called as sons of God. Now, why is this privilege given in this gospel age? That why justification, why this concept and all is required? You see, because in the gospel age, God expects sacrifice. What type of sacrifice? In the Jewish age, the sacrifices that were given on the altar were the literal animals, you see, the goats, the bullocks, you see, and the calf. But in the gospel age, you see, God demands, you see, our body as a living sacrifice. Because those sacrifices which were given in the Old Testament could never take away sins. So it was a example as how God's sacrifice has to be, you see, submitted to God. So hence, this justification is given so that we may offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And what is the result? What is the benefit of this one? If you are faithful in this sacrifice, tomorrow will be, you see, under priest along with our higher high priest, you see, and we are going to rule with him for 1,000 years. Okay, so this is what the justification of life for the new creature is considered at this gospel age. Okay, next paragraph, Romy sister or Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. While the ancient worthies could come into harmony with God through faith in operation of plan not fully revolved to them and not even begin, it would appear that it would be impossible for divine justice to go further than this with any until the atonement for sin had been actually effected by the sacrifice of Christ. This is in full accord with the apostles' declarations that God provided some better things for us. The gospel church, the new creations, that they, the humble and faithful ancient worthies without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:40. It is in harmony also with our Lord's declarations respecting John the Baptist, that although there had not additions or greater prophet than he, yet dying before the sacrifice of atonement had been actually completed, the least of in the kingdom of heaven class. The new creation the creation justified to life after the sacrifice for sin had actually been made and called to suffer and to reign with Christ would be a greater than he. Matthew 11:11.
Thank you, brother. So the ancient worthies, we see that they were justified. So why could not God go beyond this one? As he's been justifying the church, he could have justified the ancient worthies. No, even they could have been given the opportunity to become new creatures. Even they could have been given the opportunity to be partakers of the heavenly salvation. Why that opportunity was not given? This foundation of his throne is justice. And if justice has to release any criminal, first of all, the amount should be fully paid. It is like arresting a culprit and putting him in a central jail. You see, the culprit might show good behavior, you see, and change his character. I mean, he may be superior considered to all the other criminals. But yet, there is a law that doesn't allow a criminal to just walk out of the jail just like that. If that has to be done, a price has to be fully paid. What is the price? Somebody has to give the bail. Or the judge should make up his mind and pardon his sin. You see? But same way, you see, God could not, God wanted to pardon, you see, and God was always willing to pardon his sin, but he could not do it in advance. Completely. He could not completely forgive their sins in advance. Why? Because Jesus had not died on the cross. So, what other thing he could do was, for that criminal, he might give some grace. Oh, you're much better than all the criminals. Okay. I will give you some liberty, but you should be in the central jail. What is the liberty? You are not going to be restricted only to some particular, you see, section of the jail, but you will be given the liberty to walk around and do some activities, you see, and live like a normal human being, but not like a culprit. This grace, you see, who can give? The jailer, the commissioner, or the judge, he can give. Until when? Until a complete bail is given. So similarly, until Jesus died and paid our complete price, God could just, what he can do? He could give liberty to the ancient worthies and give them the chance to have fellowship with God. That's it. But beyond that one, he could not do it. That is the reason There are two important scriptures which tell about the condition of the ancient worthies. And one is Hebrews 11, verse 40. Hebrews 11, 1 minute. Yeah, 39 and 40. So anybody can read Hebrews 11, 39 and 40?
Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
See, these all, who all? Read, comes from Abel. Abel till John the Baptist. These all the members of this category, they obtained a good report. How? Through faith. You see, they could not see God. They never, you see, heard about God. They could not see him. They have never read anything about God. But yet, they trusted God. That was their faith. You see, upon the one true God. So, they received a good report. They must called the report card. They all scored good marks. But what does he say? You see, well, they received not the promise. You see, God did not give them the promise. That means what? God had promised, if you are faithful, I'll give you something. God had promised to Abraham, if you are faithful, if you obey my words, and you come out of your father's land, offer your son as a sacrifice, in thy seed I shall bless all the nations of this earth. That was the promise God gave to Abraham. Did God fulfill his promise? No. So, they did not get the promise. Next, why? What is the reason? Verse 40.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God has given something better for us. You see, better for the church. What is it better for the church? The church, as we know, has given the heavenly salvation. So, if we are given the better part, something little lower than this better part should be given to the ancient ones. What is that one? If you see, that is in the earthly salvation, not the heavenly salvation. That earthly salvation, you see, will be resurrected in perfect bodies, but yet on the earthly salvation. So they without us should not be made perfect. So, anything, you see, the ancient worthies of the world has to receive, first, the reward should be given to the church. Only after that one, the whole world, you can get the blessings through the ancient worthies. Okay. Now, along with this one, there is one more scripture. What is it on? Matthew 11, 11. Okay. Who can read Matthew 11, 11? Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
Okay, here it says, among all the people who are born out of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist is considered greatest of all the prophets, of all the people? Why John the Baptist is considered as greatest? What special work did he do? Is he greater than Moses? Is he greater than our forefather Abraham? You see, he was called the friend of God. You see, what is the greatness of John the Baptist? Anybody, any clue? Any idea? Why God tells that John the Baptist is great of all the who were born out of women? Why? Think. Joel brother, what do you think? Why John the Baptist is the greatest of all men? Okay, Munaster.
Because he saw the Jesus Christ.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So he saw Jesus Christ. Okay, fine. He was the Messiah. You see, so he saw the Messiah. Okay. Now, Romy sister, I'm a brother.
Brother, I think he prepares the way for Jesus.
Oh, very good. You see, he prepared the way for Jesus. What do you mean by prepared the way for Jesus? You see, prepared the way means, you see, make his work easy. You see, imagine, I'll just give an example. You see, if I'm coming to Nepal, Ashish brother, Gopal brother, Joel brother, they all make the work very easy. So as soon as I come, what will be ready? All the procedures and all, everything will be ready. So all things will be correctly gathered. So it will be very easy for us to conduct a meeting. Imagine if that is not there. If I only have to come and from the scratch do all the work, how difficult it is. So this job, none of the prophets did. None of the prophets had the opportunity to do it. John the Baptist was the one who had the opportunity. He prepared the hearts of the people. You see, by bringing them to repentance, they had violated the law. He told them to bring the fruits of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, and whosoever wanted to repent, he gave them the baptism of repentance to turn towards the God. You see, then what happened? Many people came. Many people realized the mistake. Many people wanted to turn towards God. Many people wanted to walk in the path of God. You see, so what happened? Many people gathered. And I'll have one more question. See, Jesus had 12 apostles. Now, who were these actually 12 apostles? The apostles were, no? How did he select the apostles? Did he just randomly select, or before selecting them, were they doing something else? See, some were fishermen, some were tax collector, but apart from that one, before coming to Christ, what were they doing? Whom did they follow actually? Anybody has any guess?
John the Baptist, rather.
Ah, John the Baptist. You see, they were all the disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist correctly nurtured them, correctly trained them, correctly molded them. Simply like telling you, you see, John the Baptist has taken the basic classes, prepared them. For whom? For Jesus Christ to come and take higher classes. So, Nathaniel, you see, John, all these people, James, they were all actually the disciples of John the Baptist. You see, there's a verse, John, sorry, Gospel of John. Okay, read verse 33. Read John first chapter, verse 33. Read from verse 33.
And
Okay.
I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, what did John have to say? I knew him not. What is what? John the Baptist himself did not know that Jesus himself is the Messiah. He knew that Jesus was a holy person without sin, but he did not see that he was the Messiah. Why? Because God had given a clue. God had given a clear sign that if he is the Messiah, the Holy Spirit will come upon him. So that was the sign. So even he knew Jesus, he has seen Jesus many times, but there was no sign of Holy Spirit coming upon him. So he could not, you see, recognize him as the Messiah then. But when he was baptizing everybody, you see, so what happened? Jesus came and he was baptized. Then that is the time that the Holy Spirit came and he could realize, oh, this is the Messiah. Now immediately what happened? You see, verse 34. Okay, Joel brother, can you read? Verse 34, John 1:34.
Okay, brother. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Ah, John the Baptist immediately, what was the, you see, witness he gave? This is the Son of God. I've been telling about the Son of God now. I'm not even worthy to, you see, untie his shoe. Huh? He is the person, he is the Messiah. Next, what happened in his mother? Verse 35. Huh?
Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, continue, brother.
Continue, brother.
And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God."
See, what happened? Next day, immediately, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming from far. Immediately, all the disciples were there. Two disciples were with him. Immediately, this is the Son of God. You see, behold, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. Immediately, what happened? If you see, verse 37.
And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
The two people followed Jesus. So it was very easy. Imagine if Jesus had to begin his ministry from the scratch. He had to go to all the places, gather the people and preach to them. What to preach? That is also important, no? First of all, they are not in the level to listen to God's words. So to bring them to the mode of listening, you say bring them to the mode of repentance, that was a very Herculean task. That was done by John the Baptist. Same way, I remember Elijah. When Elijah was there, Ahab was there, Jezebel was there. What was the condition of Israel? They were completely immersed in idol worship. You see? But what did John the Baptist, what did Elijah do? Elijah told everybody to turn to God. He did a great, computation on Mount Carmel, where it was clearly proven that Jehovah is God. And many people turned. That was the way he made very easy the path of God. So when Jesus came, it was very easy. Already so many people were in the good mood to accept Christ as soon as they saw. So when Nathaniel, Peter, John, James and all saw, immediately they rushed to Christ. So among them, Jesus prayed and selected the 12 apostles. So why John the Baptist is great means John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ. That means what? Made his work very easy. 6 months before, John the Baptist made the platform very easy, very comfortable. So that Jesus' ministry was very easy because it was a very short period. 3.5 years was not sufficient at all. Very short period. You had to do a lot of work. So hence, the Bible says, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Now continue. Matthew 11, 11. Where we stopped. Now let us continue from there. So who read that verse? If you can continue and read it, it will be good. Matthew 11, 11. Okay. Somebody can read. Okay. Ramesh, sir, please.
Okay. Matthew 11, 11.
Ah.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
See, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So there the differentiation is shown about the heavenly salvation. John the Baptist may be greater among all the prophets because he prepared the way for the Lord. The least of the kingdom of heaven. What are they? They are the body members of Christ himself. So when Christ is greater than all, the body members, of course, will definitely become the part of it and will definitely be greater than John the Baptist. Okay? So hence, the prophets could be justified only to a certain extent, not beyond that one. Why? Church is not complete ransom is not completely paid. So the role master, role leader, you see, the role model, Jesus Christ has not yet come. God's justice is not paid completely. You see, so all these reasons. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read it?
We have already noted the fact that Christ and the church in glory will perform a justifying, restoring work upon the world during the millennial age, and that it will not be justification by faith or reckonedly as ours now is, but an actual justification by works in the sense that although in the sense that although mixed with faith, the final testing will be according to their works. Revelation 20 verse 12. Now the new creation must walk by faith and not by sight, and there faith is tested and required to endure as seeing him who is invisible, as believing things that so far as outward evidences go, and improbable to the natural mind, unreasonable, and this faith, backed by our imperfect works, has the backing also of the Lord's perfect works on behalf, and is acceptable to God on the principle that if under such imperfect conditions we strive to the extent of our ability to please the Lord, and so partake of the Spirit of Christ that we rejoice to suffer for righteousness' sake. It is proof that under favorable condition we would be surely no less loyal to principle. When the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth, and the darkness and mists which now surround the Lord's faithful shall have disappeared, and the great Sun of righteousness be flooding the world with truth, with absolute knowledge of God, of his character, of his plan, when men see the evidences of God's favor and love and reconciliation through Christ in the gradual uplift which will come to all those who then seek harmony with him, when mental, physical, and moral restitution will be manifest, then faith will be to a considerable extent different from the blind faith necessary now. They will not then see through a glass darkly, dimly. The eye of faith will not be strained to see evidences of the glorious things now in reservation for them that love God. For those glorious things will be more or less distinctly manifested to men, while men will then believe God and have faith in him. There will be wide difference between thus believing and evidences of their senses, and the faith which the new creation must exercise now in respect of things which we see not. The faith which God now seeks in his people is precious in his sight, and marks a small, peculiar class. Therefore, he has placed such a premium or reward upon it. When the millennial age shall have been fully ushered in, it will be impossible to doubt the general facts, and hence it would be out of order to continue to offer a special reward to those who will not doubt.
Okay, thank you. So it's a big paragraph. So here already the many points already previously covered, you see, brother tries to elaborate it. You see, the main point here is that, you see, why our justification is just by recon justification. You see, why did God not actually justify us as he does in 1,000 years, when everybody will come resurrected in batches? When they start obeying the God's words, they will have physical transformation in their body. They'll have blessings. You see, the blessings in the 1,000 years is that, you see, Satan will be bound. There won't be any outward influence to motivate man to do evil. See, all evil will be completely restrained. all the dead will come back to life. You see, God's words will be abundantly, you see, circulated all over. As today we are using so much of social media, in God's kingdom it will be much more abundant. You see, and wherever we see, you see, God's words will be there. As we see so many advertisements on the roads, in God's kingdom, what will be there? You see, so many verses will be there. So many promises will be there. You see, that helps to man to leave sin. Like, for example, if area is completely populated with people who tell lies. So there, what will happen? The scriptures regarding lies and all. You see, God would display it. So through the ancient ways, why? So that they may quit their evil activities. So all these things, you see, will be done. But now, why? You see, only by faith. Because God wants to test us extremely. Because God is giving us the divine nature. He wants to see whether we will be faithful to God until death. If we show our faithfulness now in unfavorable circumstances, unfavorable means what? Whatever we think, whatever we plan, if everything goes opposite, yet we remain faithful to God, you see, that is the condition which God wants now. That is the class of people God is seeking now in the gospel age. Who remain faithful to God even at any circumstances. You see, only those brethren are to be of the little flock. Then what does it prove? You remember one scripture which Jesus said, he that is faithful in little things shall be faithful on greater things also. If we are faithful in small certain incidents, you see, where we prove our faithfulness to God, nobody sees it, but God is seeing it. Just because God is seeing it, our conscience, you see, it doesn't allow us to sin against God. So those things God sees. You see, when we meet the brethren, when we have fellowship, what is that we speak? What is our words? What is that we interact with each other? God sees all these things. See, from heaven is watching all these things and seeing who is faithful. Read one verse, Malachi. Okay, Romister, please read Malachi, 3rd chapter. Malachi, 3rd chapter. Verse 16. Malachi 3:16.
Okay, brother. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it.
See, what does it mean? You see, they that feared the Lord spoke one to another. Who is that who feared the Lord? The consecrated. We, when we speak to each other, who is listening? What does the Bible say? You see, then they that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard it. You see, after hearing, what is God doing? Continue, sir. After hearing, what does he do?
And hear it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord, and that though upon his name.
So their names are written in book of life, book of remembrance. Whose names are written? Everybody's name. Whose names are written? What does the Bible say? What does the verse say? Whose names? Whose names, sir?
Who feared?
Very good, sir. Who feared the Lord? And what did they discuss? Who thought upon his name?
His name.
What do you mean by thought upon his name? You see, whenever we meet the brethren, discuss about God's words, about his character, you see, his beauty of holiness, you see. So these are the people who fear God. So when these types of discussions are happening, God notes in heaven and tell, oh, these are the children who are worthy of the divine nature. Write their name in the book of life. Write the name in the book of remembrance. So it is a, what do you say? It is a situation where we prove our faithfulness to God. It means if we are faithful to God now, then definitely when all our circumstances are good, we will definitely go do much more better. Sometimes it happens, you know, in our consecrated life, there will be ups and downs. Of course, everybody, I think you all must be having ups and downs. You see, when we are down, we will completely get discouraged, we let down. You see, but sometimes at that moment, if you listen to any subject, if you attend some meeting, what will happen? Somehow our faith will, you see, stand the test. We won't completely rejoice, but at least somehow we will be able to stand the test. But after a few days, when this test is over, you see, when we receive the blessings from God, how our heart will be? It will be in a full joyful mode. You see, it will be same after the resurrection. All the trials, whatever we are facing, it will be nothing when compared to the reward which God is going to give us. Hence, this, you see, justification by faith is a test for us to prove faithfulness. If we are faithful now, it means that we will be faithful to God. You see, in the divine nature also. And in 1,000 years, God rewards this one as per each and every individual's actions. You see, but even in 1,000 years, if somebody doesn't show, you see, faith, then what will happen? You see, they won't be allowed to continue further. If they don't have so much of faith, then that means they will definitely not exercise much more faith, even if the situations are better. So these people will be cut off in the second death. Okay, next paragraph. So who has not read till now? Romester, I hope, I think you are not read.
Yes, brother.
Okay, can you read, sir?
Okay, brother. But although the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth, and there shall be no need to say to one's neighbor, know thou the Lord. Nevertheless, there will be upon man a different test, not of faith, but of work, of obedience. For it shall come to pass that the soul that will not hear or obey that prophet shall be cut off from amongst the people. Acts chapter 3, verse 23. It is during the present time of darkness as respect of fulfillment of the divine plan, when sin abounds and Satan is the prince of this world, that our Lord puts the premium upon faith, saying, according to thy faith be it unto thee. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. And again, this is the victory which overcometh the world, even your faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But respecting the world's trial or judgment in the millennial age or day of judgment, we read that all will be judged according to their works back and by faith according to their work it will be unto them, and they shall stand approved or disapproved at the close of the millennial age.
Okay, thank you, sir. So now the premium was what? Faith. But in Christ's kingdom, you see, the preference and the premium will be majority upon works. So in 1,000 years, when the people come up in the resurrection, you see, they can't simply come and sit and say, oh, I have faith. In faith, everything works out. No. They have to show everything in action. Why everything in action? You see, because in Christ's kingdom, Satan will be bound. So when Satan is no more there to influence you, so what will be the condition? It will be a very holy and a very pure condition. You see, that condition, everybody will be, you see, spontaneously reacting to show God's love. That's what the scripture says. You see, from the least even to the greatest of them, everybody shall know the Lord. In Jeremiah 31st chapter, it says, no, there is no need that one should go and tell his neighbor to know the Lord. From the least even to the greatest, everybody shall know the Lord means what? Everybody will come to know a clear understanding of God. So then what you have to do? There's no outward influence. Nobody is, you see, injecting you with any evil thoughts. So you are very in a super condition, very holy condition. But then what you have to do? You have to perform it and show. You see, you can't simply sit like the same adamant character. No, you have to show it. This is what is shown in the parable of the sheep and goat. You see, sheep, goat. He says, no, we were in prison. You see, I was in prison, you came and visited me. I was hungry, you came and gave me food. I was thirsty, you came and gave me water. I was sick, you came and healed me. You see, so I was a stranger, you took me in. So then the sheep class, they asked the Lord, Lord, when did we take you in? When did we give you food? When did we give you water? When did we come and visit you? And what did the king say? Huh? In the parable, whatever you have done to the least of this, not what? The people. Whatever you done to these people, it is like doing to me. So that means indirectly, these things will work out in a kingdom. So indirectly, the people won't be knowing that, oh, if you do this one, oh, Christ will give us a reward. No. Without their knowledge. Without their knowledge means what? They will have the knowledge of the word of God, but without their clear, you see, understanding that if you do such actions, a reward or a, you see, a blessing or a curse shall come, they will spontaneously do it from their heart. And as they're doing it from their heart, they will slowly realize that we are getting some blessings. What is the blessing, sir? What is a blessing that God gives in a 1,000 years? You put something in action, you see, immediately get the result. Now, what is the action that we put? The wages of sin is death. Correct? What is the meaning of death? Meaning of death means not that we die. You see, the last moment we leave a breath and we close our eyes. No? That is not called as death in the Bible. Death means from our birth. Till we go down to the grave, the entire sin, suffering, sorrow, pain, you see, various types of diseases, various types of ailments which we suffer in our body, this is the wages of sin. Our hairs will grow white. See, earlier when I came and meet you first time, I did not have any white hairs. Now see, only white hairs. I did not wear specs. Now I am using my specs. You see, why? Because what has happened? Body is getting degraded. So as day by day degradation happen, I realize that I'm getting old. I'm coming near to the grave. But in Christ's kingdom, how it will be? It will be reverse order. You see, as without their, you see, clear specifications and all, if they could do some good, what will happen? Slowly, there somebody people will be bald. Huh? They won't have any ears, no? But then they will be having ears. If they do some good thing, one ear will come. Or you'll be surprised, what is this one? I don't have any ear. No ear is coming. The two black ear. Slowly it will grow. Then what will happen? Oh, why it happened? It's something they will understand. But 2, 3 days, if you do something good, another 2, 3 years will come. Then they will realize, oh, every good action has got a reward. Every good work has got a reward. Then what will happen? They'll come on, keep on doing good. You see? Like, for example, In India, we have Google Pay. The more you use the Google Pay, the Google will give you a reward. You see? So, what will happen? As we get more reward, we will get tempted to use it more. Similarly, it will be in the Christian kingdom. You see, the more you show faithfulness, the more changes will come in your body. You know, especially women. I don't know about women in Nepal, but here and all India, they spend a lot of money upon beauty. You see, beauticians, beautiful things to beautify their body. Put that cream, that cream, this makeup, that makeup, put lipstick, all these decorations beautifully. Why? Yeah. Because they want to look young, they want to look beautiful. Imagine this is what God is going to give in 1,000 years. I'll give you beauty. I will give you beautiful skin. I'll make you young. Only thing you obey. What will happen? People are immediately they start obeying. Oh, if I'm obeying, God is blessing me, my body. Ah, then I'll do good. Let me do good. Then what will happen? People will seek for opportunities to do good. Imagine, you see, if a Google tells, you please recommend your friend to me. I will pay you 500 rupees. What we'll do? I will send that message link to everybody, all our friends. Hey, do you have Google? Google Pay you have? No. Please, I send the link. You install it from here. You will send to five friends, means 5,000 rupees you'll get. That will be incentive, no? Even YouTube. You see? YouTube. We do some programs on the YouTube, upload it on the YouTube. If we click for an option of advertisement, what will happen? YouTube gives revenue. Luckily, we haven't opted it. You see, but today, major with the world, in Nepal, no, they why the Gen X, they revolted, Generation Z. You see, why they revolt? You see, because they are earning revenue through this media. If you block those things, same way it will be in Christ kingdom. Incentives will be given, opportunity will be given. So what will happen? People will rush to do good. Yo, I'm not feeling well. Yo, my hand is like this. I'm so weak. My face is completely ruptured. I'm become very old. I don't have hairs. I'm very lean. You see, I'm a hatchback. If I do good, what will happen? Oh, God will heal me, no? Let me do good. So they'll start doing good. So each and every good action will give them a blessing. So that's what brother says in this paragraph. Now the test is of faith, but in the kingdom, the test will be of works. Without works in Christ's kingdom, nobody will be, you see, justified. So you have to show works. There's no opportunity at all. So many people know, you see, after taking all the classes, they don't come to consecration. They think, oh, consecration means we have to suffer, we have to sacrifice. Why? I'll come in the 1,000 years, it will be very easy. Of course, 1,000 years is a very good thing. But do you think it will be very easy? You see, actually, now itself is very easy. Because whatever we do, God has kept a fountain. See, there is a fountain, no problem. You're completely defiled, you're completely spoiled, go to the fountain. Take bath and come. What does the Bible say? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Read. First John. First John. First John, first chapter, seventh verse. Who can read? My brother, First John 1:7.
Okay, brother, John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
See? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Okay, I'll ask you a question. In olden days, you see, when the people of Israel, when they were there, when they left Egypt, when they were traveling to land of Canaan, they used to travel in the wilderness, in the desert. Okay. Now I'll ask a question. Were they taking bath or not? The people of Israel, were they cleaning themselves? Were they having bath? Yes or no?
No, brother.
No, so no bath for 40 years. Think, no bath for 40 years, huh? When Moses went on the mount to receive the tablets, law, you see, what did he tell when he came, when he was supposed to come down? Huh? Prepare the people. Let everybody be clean. Correct now? So they used to have bath, no? Correct now? Yes or no? You're there or not? Everybody, please react.
We are here, brother.
Okay. They used to take bath, no? Then.
Yes, brother.
Okay.
I think that's not about doing the bath, brother, but I think that is their heart.
Their heart. So no need to take bath. 40 years, no need for bath. You just go on like that only.
It's very confusing, but I think so, brother.
Okay. So they used to take bath because the Levites were there. You see, they were cleansed from the water. From the head till toe, they were cleansed and they have to come to the sanctuary. You see, they have to clean all the vessels and then we use the vessels. So the cleaning process was there. You see, the bath was always there. Okay, now I'll tell you, I'll ask one more question. Which soap did they use? Did they use any soap to take bath in the wilderness? Forget about the wilderness, at least any moment after the wilderness or before when they were dwelling in Egypt. Were they using any soap for bath?
I think they use hyssop, brother.
Which brand? Which brand did you told?
Hyssop.
Aesop. Where is it given in the Bible? Read Hebrews 9, 19. Hebrews 9, 19. See, soap is there means bathroom also should be there. No? Read Hebrews 9, 19. Read with the Gopal brother.
For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the books and all the people.
See, in olden days, you see, when Moses used to, what do you say? Bring the law into force. Okay, before bringing the law into force, he used to take the blood of bull, you see, and the water. He used to mix it with hyssop, it seems. And that hyssop used to sprinkle upon everybody, it seems. Using the hyssop, the blood and water was sprinkled upon everybody. Why that hyssop was used, hyssop plant, why is it was used? Because that was the soap during those days. Okay. Now, which is the toothbrush that they used? Did they have toothbrush, toothpaste? Olden days, before toothpaste was manufactured, which is the toothpaste or brush they were using? Yeah, nothing. No brushing also teeth also. Guess no, at least. Which how did they brush their teeth when there was no toothpaste or toothbrush? Nobody, no clue. No idea.
No idea, brother.
Okay, you don't use any such things in Nepal? Or you never tried it? Okay, in India, it's there. Even today, if you go to the village side, people use the neem branches. You know neem plant? Neem, you know neem?
Yes, brother.
Yes,
Ah,
brother.
they
Yes.
break the branches, you see, and the branches, they chew it and brush their teeth. So why I'm telling you, why I'm giving this example, even before olden days also, natural things were used to clean themselves. So Israel was given only one soap. Even in gospel age, Jesus Christ is the only one soap. That his soap is to cleanse only few things, but the blood of Jesus, that soap cleanses us of all the sins. That much power the blood of Jesus is having. So the cleansing activity, you see, will happen when? In 1,000 years. You see, so only those who are clean shall walk up the highway of holiness. The Bible says so, the unclean shall not pass over it. That means what? Everybody will be unclean. But once they come up, they have to clean themselves, they have to cure themselves, they have to make themselves pure. Then only if they are clean, they can pass over the highway of holiness into the glorious ages to come. Or else, what will happen? If they don't prove their faithfulness, if they don't put it in action, they don't put it in work, they should be cut off in second death. Now read Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. Munna sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. And I saw the dead, and small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
According to their works, underline, not according to their faith. What did Jesus say whenever he did miracle? Be it according to you as per their faith. Be it according to thy faith. Jesus said, no, whenever he did miracles, be it unto you as per your faith. Faith was very important now. But in Christ kingdom, it will be on works. Books were opened. The Bible will be open. You see, now we are so much of interest we are giving studying. Imagine in Christ kingdom, lot of movies will come. What type of movies? All biblical movies. One type of one movie, one drama, one suspense. You see, different angles. All these things will be pictorially represented. All teachings will be there. You see, so God's words. Will be in them. You see, impact will be there. So, automatically, what will happen? They will start putting in action. Do you have a experience of watching a movie? Anybody has experience of watching a movie? You have any great actor in Nepal? Oh, you're all, you don't watch movies or serial.
We do.
Okay. So, any good actor you remember? Any super actor, a superstar?
Yes, brother.
Okay. So let us give an example in India. In India, there is a superstar called as Rajinikanth or Shah Rukh Khan or Amitabh Bachchan. People, when they go to the theater, no, they'll be okay. After the film is over, when they come out of the theater, you know how do they behave? They behave as if he is Rajinikanth. Some people behave as if he is Amitabh Bachchan. If there is any tragedy scene, they'll keep on weeping. Are you crying? Why? See the impact of the movie. See the impact of one hero. You see, their life, their character, you see, the way they behave, everything changes. Same way in 1,000 years. You see, beautiful, you see, pictorial representations of the life of the ancient worthies. The life of the disciples, the life of Jesus Christ, beautifully in different times. You see, it will be shown to the people. What will happen? This will make them to bring the changes in their life. You see, they will be motivated. It will change their life. You see, so they will think, oh, yes, Abraham did such thing. We will also try to be like that. And, you see, and advertisement is in there today. If something new comes in the market, how do the people buy that one? advertisement. It comes in the TV. Ah, correct. A good item, no? Ah, this gives fair and lovely. Oh, your black will become white. Ah, why don't we purchase? We'll purchase a small tube and do it an experiment. If that works, then more will buy. We'll publicize everybody. Same way in Christ Kingdom. You see? So advertisement also will be there. You see, these things will motivate the people to put something in action. See, if something advertisement is there, you see, it motivates us to put, to implement it in our life. Same way it will happen in Christ Kingdom. Books will be opened. People will be motivated. Nobody will be compelled or forced. You see, automatically, what will happen? You see, they will put it into action. You see, in olden days, the people used to travel. How they used to travel? You see, they used to wear, you see, simple dresses, like sari, a chudidar, wear chappal. Nowadays, if you go to travel and all, no, airport and all, how they come now? They will all come as if they are big, big shots, big, rich people. But nothing will be there. Why this, what do you say, the environment is created? Because some people will come like that one. Others watching them will think, oh, this is how we should dress for the airport. This is how we should dress for the lounges. This is how we should show that we are really capable of traveling by aircraft. We need to show to the people that, oh, we are very wealthy persons. We are capable and we are worthy. We are high-class people to travel in an international, you see. So these things are motivating actions of the people, you see, which has an impact on other people. So they change themselves. So same way in Christ Kingdom, each and every action has got an impact upon each and every person. So in Christ Kingdom, the majority thing will be upon works. Okay? So let us stop here. So we'll continue next week. Anybody has got any questions, any doubts? Any doubts, any questions? Nothing? Okay. So let us finish with a word of prayer. So in the last, who can pray?
Brother, I will pray.
Okay, my brother.
सर्वशक्तिमान परमेश्वरपिता हामी तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद दिन्छौँ आजको यो समयमा फेरि पनि तपाईँको पुत्र अनि तपाईँको साँच्चै नै यो वचन अनि तपाईँको यो स्टडी तपाईँ परमेश्वरले हामीलाई यो स्टडी गर्ने मौका प्रदान दिनुभएको छ अनि तपाईँको छोरा अनि ब्रदर राजुद्वारा अनि हामीले स्टडी गरेका छौँ साँच्चै यो वचनलाई अनि यो पढाइलाई तपाईँले बुझ्न सक्ने ज्ञान पनि तपाईँले हामीलाई दिनुभएको छ अनि हामी विश्वास गर्छौँ तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद दिन्छौँ अनि समयहरूमा पनि हामी यसरी नै फेरि पनि स्टडीलाई कन्टिन्यू हामी गर्न सकौँ अनि हामी प्रार्थना गर्छौँ धन्यवाद सबै कुरा हामी तपाईँको शरणमा राख्दै आशिष अनि अनुग्रह माग्छौँ यीशु प्रभुको पवित्र अनि उच्च नाम आमेन
Amen, amen. Thank you.